The Guardian.
Hello and welcome to the Alternatives Podcast. I'm Adit Chakraborty. This week, ownership. The British are pretty casual about who gets to own their businesses and what they do with them. Think about some of the biggest business stories of the past few years. There's BHS and Philip Green. There's Richard Desmond and the Express Stable. Manchester United and the Glazer family. And this week, there's GKN, one of our great engineering names, the subject of a takeover bid from Melrose.
GKN workers from the Unite Union have protested outside Parliament and lobbied MPs to stop a hostile takeover of the FTSE 100 engineering giant by Melrose. The £7.4 billion bid is opposed by GKN, but the union wants Business Secretary Greg Clark to use his powers to block it in the public interest. Workers fear Melrose would break up GKN, which is involved in key defence contracts like the F-35 and Typhoon fighters, and move jobs overseas.
What these stories have in common is owners who are pretty careless about the companies they run, but pretty careful about how much money they get out of them. Well, this week, we're going to meet a man who decided to do something a bit different with a company he owns.
Any small company comes to a stage where you need to start thinking about succession planning and exiting. If you don't, then you're not being a prudent business owner.
That's John Clark, who I met in Glasgow. His story begins with an ending. He'd helped build up Novograph, a branding company, for some 30-odd years, and now he wanted to head off into retirement. The problem he had was how to leave his company in good hands. John, tell me what Novograph does.
Novograph was formed in 1986 as a large-format print company. We originally supplied vehicle liveries, so that's the printing on the side of vehicles. But we sort of matured from there and get into the retail space. So we deal with companies like Co-op, John Lewis, Waitrose, Greggs. And then as you go into the shop, you will see freeze systems that run round just under the ceiling, colour-coded. You'll see lettering, beers, wines, etc.
This is all you.
That's all Novograph.
And you produce it from your factory in East Kilbride?
East Kilbride, that's worldwide headquarters for Novograph, one factory. It's about 36,000 square feet. We've got about 85 people just now. And about a third of that total work externally as installation teams and project managers, etc.
So you've built this company up over 40-something years, and it's grown a lot, and you've got some really big customers on your books, and then you decide you want to step back from the business.
I was about 61, and Alistair Miller, he was 60, and we both realised that we better start thinking, firstly, about succession. Who's going to take it over? And we did have a management team, but as we started talking about succession, we then started thinking about exit planning. How are we going to exit? What way do we want to do it? What options are there? And there was no timescale. It was not an urgent thing. There was no pressing need to do it. But at least we had started the conversation. So you've got options like trade sale. You've got family taking over. Not an option in our case. They didn't want to do it. You've got potentially a management buyout. Wasn't right for our management at the time, and also you're really just kicking a can down the road with that, because the management that take over in 3, 4, 5 years' time, they're going to want to sell as well. Yeah, and at that point, it's out of your hands. You've got an employee buyout. We thought about that, but getting finance is really difficult just now, affordable finance. So we put that one aside, and then I suppose you've got just keep going. You know, but that was not an option. If we had agreed between ourselves, if we're getting out, we're getting out.
So you then, a leaflet drops onto your doormat. Is that really what happened?
Genuinely. Remember, we had been working for John Lewis, Waitrose, etc., who are employee-owned companies, but that meant very little to us, apart from the fact once a year you'd see on the radio, or you'd hear on the radio or television, John Lewis have paid their colleagues, as they call them, X amount tax-free bonus because they're employee-owned. No idea what employee ownership was. Not at all. So what happened was, because we'd started kicking ideas about succession and exit planning. It was literally a postcard came in from a part of Scottish enterprise called Cooperative Development Scotland. It was actually a phrase that said, thinking of exiting your business, or and a bit about succession planning, the two buzzwords, if you like. So we did get off our butts and go out and see these guys. This is interesting, because people started talking about things like productivity improvements and much more inclusion. By very small degrees, you're reducing inequality because the people who are coming to their own workplace every day are getting the chance to participate and also reap some of the rewards. And we learn things like the management always have to run the company. If it's employee-owned, it's still the management that run the company. It's a much more consultative type of management. It has to be.
You're making the case in very commonsensical terms, but what you're saying is quite a challenge to market economics, because usually, if I sell you my house, you do whatever you want to that house. Yep. It's yours now. I've walked away. I've got the money, and I'll do whatever I want with the money. Yep. But here you are thinking about what people are going to do with the business after you've left it.
Yeah, but as I said, there was also succession planning to happen, and that focuses the mind as well. You're putting a new MD in. I was MD. I'm going to be chairman. This MD has to have freedom to do what they want with the business as well. Yeah. So you've already started kind of assimilating that in your head, that things are going to change about you and other people are going to have to do things with it.
You could have been off on a yacht by now.
I could have. No, you're absolutely right. But what you're actually leaving behind when you do that, you know people, you know their families that have worked in the company for years, right? And that's why I say it's not right for everybody. There will be serial entrepreneurs out there who want to build a business, sell it, get the money onto the next one. Having done what we've done, I think I'd maybe challenge them a wee bit to say, when you've built a business and you're selling it, why don't you sell it to your employees and move on to the next one? And one of the key things you're talking about market economics is finance. It would be so easy to sell to the employees or to transfer your shares if there was finance available and not one of the major banks was interested. Even our bank.
Even our own bank.
Didn't understand employee ownership, not interested in providing finance up front, because, you're right, in the market, no matter what happens, 100% of your shares are maybe going to somebody who wants to buy you outright, and that's it. Cheerio, walk away with a cheque, fine. Or 100% of your shares are going into an employee trust, which is the way we've done it. When you do it, the former way, you get the money. When you do it the latter way, there's no finance. So you actually, it's a bit of an act of faith to say, these guys are going to pay us back over 4, 5, 6 years. It is backed up by all sorts of legal guarantees. We've still got levers to pull. If we see the place, going away in a completely different tangent, we can still step in, yeah? But it would be so much easier if there was finance available when you transfer the shares.
You said that if you were to sell to someone else, you sell them 100% of the shares, job done.
Yeah.
How are you working it? What's happening in your case?
We transferred 100% of the shares into the employee trust. On day one, we awarded free shares to every employee based on length of service, which meant that the guys who'd spent a fair bit of time there, got more shares than somebody who'd been there 2, 3 years. And we then released 20% of the 100% to employees to buy over a period of time. But the trust will always own 80% of the shares.
So you've moved the shares into a trust, which is owned by the employees in the company, no matter who they are, because some people will come and go. Okay. How are you getting your money back from that then?
That has been funded by the company itself. The company pays back out of earnings on a yearly basis, agreed sums, And there's all sorts of caveats in there. The new MD has to ensure that X amount's paid back every month and one lump sum payment per year. That's in her key objectives. Last year, perfect. They've done well. We reckon we'll be paid back 5-6 years, all things being equal.
And it transferred across when, in 2016?
21st of December 2016. Although there's downsides, as I say, in the finance side, there's also upsides. There is a tax advantage. You know, as Alistair and I get the money paid back to us, there's no capital gains tax. So if we had sold to an external company, yeah, you get your money in day one, but you pay 18% potentially or 10% capital gains tax, depending on the scheme you've got. So the money that we do get is tax-free. The money employees get in bonuses, up to £3,600, is tax-free.
What impact has it had on your workers, who were once your workers?
But there is definitely much more of a vibe about doing things right, not wasting as much, a bit more respectful to each other. It's a strange one.
Really?
Yeah. Because you're all owners now.
And you're still at the company that you were planning to exit from?
Yeah, I'm now chairman, so that was part of the succession plan.
How's that feel, to be still there?
Oh, it can be difficult, yeah, because you've done things your way for X amount of time, and somebody new comes in.
And they're sitting in your old office.
Correct, yeah, and I've now got a cupboard somewhere. So, but there is a certain amount of tongue biting goes on. It's got to be like that. But on the other hand, what you're actually doing is injecting a whole load of fresh ideas. And that's another win-win situation, because as chairman, I've made many mistakes over the years, so I can see when mistakes are coming up, and it's a quiet word. And that's a good relationship as well. And you'll meet Jennifer tomorrow.
You've made it sound really commonsensical, and I like the way you've talked about it. But I wonder if you're not underplaying how radical what you've done is. Because it's, as you say, very few businesses still do it. Mm-hmm. It accounts for a tiny proportion of the British economy. And what you've effectively done is you've shifted ownership of the company from capital, as we used to think of it, the people who own the money should have the money, mm-hmm. to the people who actually create the value, to the workers.
Yes.
That's a huge shift.
And maybe we are underplaying it because we've been doing it, we've been sort of immersed in it now for about 2 years now, 2 and a bit years since we first started thinking about it. But it's not some sort of socialist paradise. The workforce are not strolling hand in hand into the golden sunset. You know, it's not like that at all. However, what they are doing is getting hard rewards, i.e. bonuses, etc., the potential to own shares, the potential to have dividends once our debt's paid off, they're getting that. And if they, you know, do what they're doing anyway every day, they're going to get much more reward out of it. And it is their company. One of the difficulties is, and I think this will just take time, is getting everybody to think, no, actually, this is my company. It's hard for people to appreciate it. You know, that just before Christmas, John and Alistair own and run the company, and just after Christmas, it's ours. You know, that's just a hard thing to take on.
Have you turned your workers into capitalists, or have you turned your company into some kind of more socially just structure? Is what you've done left-wing or right-wing?
Oh, that's an interesting one. I think what we have done is much more turn the organisation into a socially more just organisation. We're not perfect by any shape of the imagination. I think it's really difficult to turn anybody into a capitalist. Yeah, all of a sudden everybody's out there after the mighty dollar. We've got strong-willed people with strong opinions in our place. It's not the organisation's job to turn them into capitalists. However, if you look at it the other way and you do try and make a more socially just organisation, then anybody joining it is actually going to, in our opinion, and I think we see it, it does help to attract people. MD joining that organisation is going to see this is quite a good place to work, and I've got the opportunity to actually benefit more, yeah, capital wise, for the efforts I'm putting in. But the organisation itself, I would say it's more socially just. Yeah. Now, we are not, Alistair and I are not, we're not saying by any stretch of the imagination that we are, we've turned into these wonderful capitalists who've given away the company. Not at all. It was a hard-nosed bargain for us as well. We got the price we wanted. It's going to take us a while to get it. There are some tax advantages. That's great. But the overall thing, yeah, I think you've actually nailed it there by saying it's a more socially just organisation, which hopefully gets more socially just the more people get involved.
Novograph's been employee-owned for just over a year now, which makes it one of the 300-odd employee-owned businesses in the UK. They include some most famous names in our high street, John Lewis. They also include architects' practices like Arup, and management consultants such as PA Consulting. It's no accident, as the Marxists used to say, that Novograph's based in East Kilbride, because the Scottish Government takes a keen interest in promoting employee ownership. Employee-owned companies include some of the biggest businesses across the world. Think of Zeiss, the lens maker based in Germany. That's employee-owned. Publix, the retailer in America. That's employee-owned. And Mondragon, the cooperative movement based in the Basque Country, Spain. That's it for the alternatives this week. Get in touch at alternatives@theguardian.com. Our producers were Lily Ames and Phil Maynard. See you next time.
For more great podcasts from The Guardian, just go to theguardian.com/podcasts.